Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Q2 FY20 earnings conference call of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Jason D'Souza. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, moderator. Welcome to Glenmark's Q2 earnings call. Before we open the floor for question and answers, a review of the operations for the quarter ended September 30th, 2019. For the second quarter of FY20, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at $28,150 million, recording an increase of 9.05%. For the first six months of the financial year, Glenmark's consolidated revenue was at $51,379 million, recording an increase of 8.2%. India sales from the India formulation business for the second quarter was at $8,963 million, recording growth of 15.16%. The India business continues to outperform the industry growth. As per IQVIA Q2 FY20, Glenmark's India business growth was at 15.3% as compared to IPM growth of 12.6%. As per IQVIA MAT 2019, the India business recorded growth of 12.3% compared to IPM growth of 10.3%. Glenmark's India formulation business is ranked 14th with market share of 2.19%. In terms of market share, Glenmark's India business strengthened itself in core therapy areas such as cardiac and respiratory. In April 2019, Glenmark announced the launch of its novel patent-protected, globally researched SGLT2 inhibitor, remoglipizumab itabonate, in India. Glenmark is the first company in the world to launch remoglipizumab, and the response from KOLs has been extremely positive. As per IQVIA September 2019, the sales for remoglipizumab is tracking at more than INR 3 crores per month. Remoglipizumab is the most successfully launched SGLT2 inhibitor in the Indian market in the first few months from launch, with Glenmark gaining 5% market share in terms of value and 20% market share in terms of volume in the overall SGLT2 market. In July 2019, Glenmark announced that it entered into a non-exclusive sub-licensing arrangement with Torrent Pharmaceuticals to co-market remoglipizumab itabonate in India. Glenmark received regulatory approvals to market a combination of remoglipizumab and metformin film-coated tablets in India in August 2019. The company subsequently launched the product. Glenmark is also targeting to launch further line extensions of remoglipizumab over the next 12 months. Glenmark has consistently grown ahead in the overall respiratory market in India through niche product launches such as glycopyrronium and multiple novel platforms such as Digihaler and NebSmart. This is reflective in our performance as per IQVIA data. As of MAT September 2016, Glenmark was ranked sixth in the respiratory market in India, while as per MAT September 2019, the company is now ranked third in the market with 5% market share as per IQVIA September 2019 data. This is a significant improvement in the respiratory segment, driven by differentiated product launches accompanied by innovative devices for the Indian market. Glenmark Consumer Care business consolidated its sales growth trajectory in Q2 despite some headwinds in the large discretionary consumer consumption categories. The consumer business grew at almost 20% to around $553 million in the second quarter. The strong sales on brands were also reflected externally as per IQVIA. Key brands VWash and Candid Powder registered 24.2% and 22.6% growth respectively in the second quarter as per IQVIA data. U.S. generics, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals U.S. recorded revenue of $8,478 million, $120.72 million in U.S. dollar terms for the quarter ended September 30, 2019, as against $8,102.47 million, recording increase of 4.64%. In the second quarter of FY20, Glenmark was granted final approval and launched ranolazine extended-release tablets, pimecrolis cream, clobetasol propionate foam. Glenmark also launched previously approved product Haleep in the market. Glenmark also received approval for fulvestrant injection 250 mg 5 ml, and this is the first injectable approval for the company. In the six months of FY19-20, the company has received 9 ANDA approvals, including 8 final approvals and 1 tentative approval. The company filed one ANDA application with the US FDA and plans to file additional three applications in the forthcoming quarter. On the manufacturing facilities, Glenmark has five FDA-approved formulation facilities, which is Goa, Indore, Baddi, Aurangabad, and Monroe. In July 2019, the US FDA inspected the manufacturing facility in Monroe, North Carolina. The inspection covered the OSD injectable and nebulizer units and concluded with the facility receiving one observation. The company has received the EIR for the Monroe facility. During the second quarter, the US FDA also completed GMP audits at Glenmark, Goa, and Indore manufacturing facility. The inspection concluded with the Goa facility receiving two observations and the Indore facility receiving zero observations. During the first quarter, Glenmark had earlier informed that the inspection conducted at the Glenmark's Baddi facility was classified as OAI via a letter by the US FDA. With regards to the same inspection, the US FDA had issued a warning letter to the Baddi facility. The company is committed to work with the US FDA to implement all necessary corrective actions required to address the concerns raised in the letter and has submitted a detailed response on the same. The company believes that the existing manufacturing and sales of products from this facility will not be impacted. The Baddi facility is expected to contribute $30 million in total sales in FY20, which is approximately 7% of the total sales of the US business. There are no major pending approvals from this facility in the next 12 months. There will be no financial impact on the organization on account of this development. ROW markets. For the second quarter of FY20, revenue from Asia, Africa and CIS region was $3487 million, recording an increase of 14.32%. As per IQVIA data for March-September 2019, Glenmark Russia recorded growth of 8.7% in value vis-a-vis overall retail market growth of 5.2%. Glenmark's overall rank is 47 in the Russian pharmaceutical market. During the second quarter, Glenmark received approval from the Ministry of Healthcare Russia to market Montelizir film-coated tablets as a prescription product for the treatment of seasonal and perennial allergic rhinitis in patients above 15 years. Montelizir is expected to be available in the Russian market from Q3 FY20. Among the other CIS markets, Glenmark Ukraine showed secondary sales growth of 46.5% in value in the second quarter of FY20. The Asia region recorded moderate performance in the second quarter of FY20 with secondary sales growth of 6%. Growth remained subdued across major Asian markets in Glenmark. For Glenmark, the Asian African subsidiary also recorded moderate growth in the second quarter. The South Africa and the Kenya subsidiary continued to record good growth in the second quarter. Europe, Glenmark's Europe operations for the quarter was $2850 million, recording an increase of 9.32%. During the second quarter, the CE region of Europe witnessed double-digit secondary sales growth, which was higher than the total market, aided by new product launches as well as key drivers in markets such as Czech. The Western European business continued to be expanding through increased present penetration of UK, Germany, Spain, Netherlands. Latin America, Glenmark's revenue from its Latin American operations was at $1212 million, recording an increase of 23.08%. The company expanded its presence in the Brazil respiratory market through the exclusive partnership with Novartis for three respiratory brands. The launch of the three in-licensed respiratory brands from Novartis has enabled the Brazil subsidiary to record good growth in the second quarter. Growth remains subdued in other LATAM markets such as Mexico and Caribbean. GPL Specialty Innovative R&D Pipeline, Ryaltris. Ryaltris Nasal Spray is the company's respiratory pipeline asset and is currently under review with the US FDA as a treatment for seasonal allergic rhinitis in the US. The company is currently in the process of bringing a partner to commercialize Ryaltris in the US market. Additionally, Glenmark is also working to close a partnership deal for Ryaltris for other EU markets. The company has already concluded partnership deals for Ryaltris in other markets such as Australia, New Zealand, South Korea, and China. The company will continue to evaluate partnership opportunities in various markets and also launch the product in some of our key markets. During the first quarter of FY20, the US FDA issued a complete response letter pertaining to the new drug application for Ryaltris. We continue to work with the agency to resolve the issues raised in the CRL. GBR-310. During FY19, Glenmark announced the phase 1 results that suggest similarity in pharmacokinetic, pharmacodynamic, safety and immunogenicity profiles between GBR-310 and the reference product Omalizumab marketed in the US under the brand name Xolair. The company is in discussions with potential partners and is targeting to conclude a deal before initiating phase 3 studies for the product. GRC-39815 is an NCE currently being evaluated as an inhaled compound for the possible treatment of COPD. It is an inhibitor of the ROR-Y gamma T. The compound is currently in preclinical development and the company plans to initiate a phase 1 study in FY20. Glenmark Life Sciences, for the second quarter of FY20, external sales for Glenmark Life Sciences was at 2697 million, recording growth of 7.39%. Domestic and ROW regions led the growth in the second quarter, with both regions recording 20+% growth over the corresponding period last year. The company also expanded its presence in the Japanese market. GLS is on track to file 4 to 5 DMFs in the upcoming quarters and continues to register multiple products in other ROW markets. GLS has 3 US FDA API manufacturing facilities in India, which is Ankleshwar, Dahej and Mohol. In July 2019, the US FDA and Health Canada jointly inspected the Ankleshwar manufacturing facility of GLS. Subsequently, the US FDA has issued an EIR for the facility and Health Canada has rated the facility as compliant. During August 2019, the PMDA of Japan also conducted an audit on the Ankleshwar manufacturing facility. No major critical observations were reported. Response to the minor observation has been submitted and approval for the facility is awaited from PMDA. Ichnos Sciences, as part of its strategy to create a leading and cutting-edge biotech organization, Glenmark announced a spin-off of its innovation business into a new company headquartered in the U.S. Setting up of this new company would provide enhanced focus to the business and help accelerate the pipeline towards commercialization. In October 2019, the new innovation company was launched as Ichnos Sciences, a spin-off of Glenmark Holding SA with a track record of improving patients' lives by providing affordable medicines. The new company was formed and approved in principle by the Glenmark Board of Directors in February 2019 and now operates with its own board of directors and executive team. Former Gilead executive Alessandro Riva is the CEO of Ichnos Sciences. The innovation pipeline of Ichnos will include 5 novel first-in-class clinical stage assets in oncology, autoimmune, and pain. The assets also include BEAT, a BEAT platform, a proprietary platform, a development site, 2 research centers, a GMP biologics manufacturing facility, and 350 employees worldwide. During the first quarter of FY20, Glenmark had invested $1,900 million in the innovation business. For the second quarter of the financial year, Glenmark has invested $1,935 million. Thus, for the first half, the total investment is to the extent of $3,835 million for Ichnos Sciences. During the financial year FY19, Glenmark invested approximately USD 113 million and the company expects to invest a similar amount in FY20 also. Ichnos Sciences would initiate the process to raise capital in the US starting Q4 FY20 to fund the development of its pipeline and for future growth plans. For further updates and pipeline on the organization, please log on to www.ichnossciences.com. A few notes before we open the floor for question and answers. Gross debt as of September 30, 2019 was at 4581 crores. Net debt as of September 30, 2019 was at 3665 crores. R&D expenditure was at 3355 crores, which was 12.8% of sales for the second quarter. R&D expenditure for the first half was at 650 crores, which was 12.9% to overall net sales. Employee costs in this quarter includes 115 crores pertaining to bonus and incentives. Other income for the quarter, which was at 81 crores, was primarily forex gain. Inventory was at 2178 crores as of September 30, 2019. Receivables was at 2107 crores. Payables was at 1976 crores as of September 30, 2019. Total asset addition was to the extent of 495 crores for the first half of FY20. Fixed assets was to the extent of 343 crores and intangible assets was to the extent of 150 crores, of which product in-licensed acquired was 130 crores. Before we open the floor for question and answers, I would like to introduce Glenmark's management, which is on the call. We have Glenn Saldanha, Chairman and Managing Director. Mr. V.S. Mani, Executive Director and CFO, Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, and Bob Matzik, President, North America. With this, we would like to open the floor for question and answers. Over to you, moderator.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. This is a reminder to all participants connected to this conference. If you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one. We take the first question from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my questions. My first question is on the, you know, U.S. performance quarter on quarter. You know, was this driven by, you know, certain one-off product launches? Is this level sustainable? How should we look at this going forward?
So, I mean, I'll comment first and then Bob, you can feel free to jump in. So, I think, I mean, we got a number of new launches, right? So, you know, products like Pimecrolimus, products like Fulvestrant, they've all been significant contributors to us in the second quarter. And I think going forward, clearly this, we see this level as sustainable given the new product launch that we've already launched and given the expected new product launches.
And is the work of Mifepristone in this number?
Sorry, say that again, Neha.
Is the worst of Mifepristone erosion in this $120 million number?
So, I mean, Mifepristone continues. Go ahead, Bob, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. So, yeah, I think, you know, to answer the, jumping on the first part of the question, we'll continue to gain market share on those new products launched. And on the Mifepristone cream side, I see it as we're it continues to decline, but it's at this point not as meaningful of a product to us.
How many product launches have we done in the first half?
Neha, we got about 8 approvals and most of them were kind of launched.
And should we assume a similar momentum in the second half?
It's hard to predict new product approvals, Neha, but I mean, we have some exciting product launches coming up, assuming we get approval on time.
Understood. And second, what is the status, you know, on Baddi? Now that we've submitted a response to the FDA, by when do we, you know, by when are we expecting to complete remediation for the facility?
So the remediation is on as we speak. We are hoping that in the first half of next calendar year, right, we should have the FDA back in there.
Understood. And if I look at my, you know, the performance in Latin America, that seemed to have improved. I'm assuming all of this is driven by the Novartis product launch in Brazil. Or is there any other? Because seasonally, the second half tends to be better, right?
Yeah, so Latin America, you know, we are expecting strong growth in the next few quarters also. And it's driven by basically right now two product launches. The Novartis obviously is a big driver. The second one is we launched Beclo as the first generic in Latin America respiratory product. So that's a big contributor in Brazil. And I think we are expecting one more launch towards Q4, right, in the respiratory space, which will drive Latin America growth. So, I mean, I would anticipate this year we should have a strong year in Latin America and next year also. Given the launches that we have and the traction we are seeing, Latin America should see strong growth.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Seon Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, good morning. So first question is on the CAPEX number. You have around 500 crores, you know, spent in the first half. What is the outlook for the full year? And also if you can comment on how you see this playing out next year and any color on expansion that you are currently doing.
Sam, this is Mani here. So we expect the full year to be about, as we said in our last call, also about 800. So I think in the first half it's a little bit higher, obviously, because we had to take care of some of the bottlenecking issues, and we had to put in some lines in some of the plants. So there were some spends on that. So I think, and then next year also we expect to be lower on the capex at least for a year more. Then we'll take a call as we see our capacity expansions come up.
Okay, so you are saying it will fall in the second half materially. And in the next year, any guidance you want to give now based on whatever visibility you have?
Yeah, about 800 crores only. We don't expect it to go up substantially higher than that, yeah. Give and take 30-40 crore up and down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the second question is on the cost item. So if we see other expenses, you know, this seem to be growing okay given the, increase in R&D that we have seen this year, this quarter. But staff cost has again gone up. I know this is a seasonal payout that you have, but year on year it's up like 13-14% when your sales growth is just around 9%. So I wanted to just understand the thought process there. And any initiative on the cost side, and how should we think about it going forward? Anything you can quantify in terms of your efforts on cost control?
So on the other expenses line item, I mean, R&D is one piece, but the other expenses, we try to grow it very minimally. It's about 5-6% growth year on year. We have not tried to take it up much. And there have been a lot of measures we did last year, and we continue to do that in terms of how we keep them under control. Employee cost, obviously, as you rightly said, in this is one quarter where we do end up paying some bonuses, etc. And broadly, on a broad basis, it should be a 9-10% growth at best in terms of employee cost. Should not be higher than that. That's what we see.
Okay. And just one more question, if I can, on Ichnos Sciences. Glenn, if you can give the key, timeline with respect to the data readout that you will have for your assets over the next 12 months. Any timeline that you can share with respect to each of the assets?
So I think clearly, I think there's a lot of activity expected in Ichnos going forward, right? Given the, we have two major data readouts, which we've publicly spoken about, right, 27864 and 830, right? These are the two big readouts that we're expecting, both phase 2B data readouts. The rest of the pipeline, we will have multiple news flows coming through on Ichnos going forward. So I think there's a lot of activity, I think, over the next 6 to 9 months that you should anticipate from Ichnos.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one. Before we take the next question, I would like to remind participants, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone telephone. We take the next question from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. And Glenn, congratulations for a pretty decent quarter after a while. Two things. One is typically we have a seasonality in our emerging market business. How should we look at the second half of the year, in that context?
Well, I think our ROW business, we think will stay at basically 10-15% growth on a full year basis, right? We are not, because I mean, the Russian market is growing at about 5-6%. A lot of the ROW business is driven by the Russian growth. So I would anticipate full year, between 10-15% top line growth for the ROW business. But I think, next year should be a good year, given the new launches, even this new product, this Montlisir that we're launching in Russia should be strong. And, we're expecting to get some tenders in some of the markets. So next year should be a good year for ROW.
And secondly, on our capex, Glenn, across the board, when you look at the peer group, we've seen a significant moderation in their capex intensities. Given the pressures that the industry has faced, most companies have opted to significantly revisit their capex intensity. What is our thought process on that?
I think
talk about.
So I think, look, I mean, Monroe is a big contributor to our CapEx, okay? And I think starting next year, because of us anticipating Monroe will go commercial next year, right? At least two lines, right? The injectables and the oral solids, right? We think our CapEx should come down, right, next year. I mean, that's our view.
Yeah, and also, Nitin, as we guided this, I mean, basically we're talking about 800. Last year it was a little more higher, it was about 1,000. So we expect at least for the next 1 to 2 years to be muted. We'll see best if we can further reduce, we'll try our best. But as we have some aspirations to grow some of the businesses and we have these plants in the U.S., etc., we need to invest some monies into that. That's the reason why there is some amount of CapEx.
And on, is there a way to probably quantify of the recent CapEx that we would have done over the last couple of years, of 2 or 3 years maybe? I mean, what proportion, or if there's a there's a certain gross block which is fairly, you know, fairly utilized in a fairly, you know, fairly small, limited way at this point of time?
And Monroe is the biggest one, right, Nitin? I mean, we've invested substantially in Monroe and, you know, that utilization will come up next year. But
and
other than that,
it's about $100 million, or it's more than that in Monroe?
Yeah, it's about 100, little more than 100.
And Glenn, on that point, what should we expect from Monroe? Like, if you take a 2 to 3 year view of that asset, you know, there's a fair amount of investment that we made there. What kind of product opportunities do we see from that asset?
So I think, look, I mean, we have some very exciting injectable products coming out of which should get approved, right? If that happens, then automatically you will see a big bump up next year in the productivity of Monroe. So I think between injectables and nebulizers, right, and then the oral solids, it should be a substantial contributor to us.
Okay. And then secondly, on free cash generation thought process, apart from, you know, the cash flow generation ease that will come through with the potential capital that will come in Equinox, I mean, what is our thought process? In general, how do we see, you know, cash flow generation in the business now? What are, you know, how are there any specific targets we're running with for the next couple of years on free cash flow generation?
So I think, look, I mean, this year, you know, we are, we think the business will generate, you know, the core business, right, will be more or less flat, but we have some divestments and other things going on, right, which should help us, you know, generate some substantial free cash for this year. Additionally, I think if you look at next year onwards, if Ichnos over time will be self-funding, right, automatically that will free up a significant portion of investment from GPL into Ichnos. So that will give us additional free cash generation over the years. So I think overall there should be a significant acceleration in free cash generation going forward. I mean, this year we are still carrying the R&D cost, right, for Ichnos, right, which is a big, big number, right, when you think about it. So we're still at close to 13% R&D cost, and the bulk of that is Ichnos. So I think so next year clearly that will change substantially, because Ichnos, we think between the partnering discussions which we have ongoing, as well as you know, the capital raise and so on, right? We think Ichnos can possibly be self-funding and in the years to come. So that will substantially help us, you know, generate free cash and de-lever to that extent.
Okay. Thank you, and best luck.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. First one is on the U.S. business again. In your MD&A, you've written that the dermatology price erosion has kind of come to about 6 to 7% QOQ. I think I recollect it was 10% QOQ last time. So are you seeing, I'm assuming this includes Mupirocin, but if you kind of strip that out, do you think, are you seeing some early signs of dermatology or topical, that area, seeing some signs of stabilization, or are we too early in that part?
So as far as our portfolio goes, right, in derm, look, mupirocin is a major contributor to the decline, but if you strip out mupirocin, the rest of the portfolio is pretty much bottomed out. I mean, we are operating in a competitive space where you've already got multiple players in most of our derm products. So I don't think, you know, the price stabilization, we're already witnessing price stabilization for most of the portfolio, right? Mupirocin is the only one which slides, but it's not a major contributor to us going forward. So I think that's on the overall US portfolio. I mean, we are seeing definitely seeing some price stabilization happening in the environment. So the overall decline, we think, has started to come off in terms of price declines.
Glenn, on the oral side, what would you kind of guide or just say where industry levels are? They now mid-single digits now? Have we come to those levels?
Yeah, they're about 5%, I would assume, you know, in terms of, you know, price erosion. And I think going forward, that's the way we see it playing out.
Okay. And so I remember last quarter you said we could grow single digit for the entire US business. So that guidance still remains?
It does.
Okay. Thank you. Second question is on GBR310. You know, you've written that you're looking to look for partners. So can you just walk us through the timelines between, you know, when this could potentially happen and the phase 3 studies, please?
So I can't give you a guidance on a timeline for a partnership. I mean, we have ongoing discussions, so as and when we conclude, we conclude. But, I mean, we are very clear we won't start the phase 3 till we get a partner on board.
Okay. Thank you. And the last question is on Ryaltris now. If you can just remind us, we have got a CRL, but, you know, what are the timelines again on, you know, how quickly we can kind of get closer to approval on this one?
I think, look, Ryaltris, you know, we are going the partnership model in most of the markets where we don't have commercial front end. So, you know, we've done partnerships in Japan, South Korea, in Australia. We are close to bringing on a European partner for Europe. And as far as the US goes, again, the goal is to partner this out, right? And we have multiple discussions as we speak, right, with various partners to try and close a partnership. As far as US approval goes, you know, because of the CRL, I think this will end up being, you know, sometime in H2 probably next year, right, or H2 calendar year, right, approval. I mean, I'm just guessing here, but that's roughly the timeline for US approval now. But so, we will have a partner on board before that.
Okay. Thank you so much, Glenn. All the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. Good morning. Glenn, on India business, roughly how much Remo would have contributed this quarter? So when you say in the press release 3-4 per month, that would be IQVIA, right? But our primary contribution would have been much higher than that.
I think today Remo is contributing about 3% to total, you know, in the growth, I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
Roughly around 3% growth to the total growth, between 2-3%.
And our partner still hasn't launched, like the Torrent partnership, have they launched and they are already contributing to this, or they are yet to launch?
No, they have yet to launch. So I think... I mean, if you look at the October IMS data, I mean, Remo was the number one prescribed SGLT2 in October. So obviously, this is after the fact, so we didn't put it in the MD&A. But the October IMS data which came out, Remo was the highest prescribed SGLT2 in the country, right, ahead of all the other competitors. So just to tell you the traction that the molecule has, right, and I think, so some of the partners will start from in the next few months, right, coming on board and commercializing.
So just 3% growth, that's roughly about 25, 27 crore contribution per quarter already.
I think that's too, maybe 3% is not right. It should be more like 2%, I would guess.
Okay, sure. Now, second question was on this generic Cefrodex injection. So this already contributed in the second quarter, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the question was that this already contributed in the second quarter, but there have been more launches by others as well. So the question was second quarter for this product, there was a high contribution and now the contribution has come down, or this is running at a rate which is similar to 2Q, even now?
So it's still a major contributor and it's running at the same rate, Anubhav, as we speak.
And last question. On this product in licensing that we do, roughly in last 3 years, very very roughly, we would have spent almost like $100 million, right, on this product acquisitions, which are mainly in the European market. Can you just indicate roughly what kind of returns do we make on this, if you look at last 3-4 years as one basket, not looking at last 1 or 2 years?
So, Anubhav, I'd like to break this into two parts. I think in the last 3-4 years, in terms of Europe, it has been very consistent. I think what we have done is that a lot of it has been in the US, product acquisitions or also in-licensed products. So Europe has typically trended anything between 120 to 150 crores every year. And if you look at, the business is already up close to 180, 200 million and generating positive EBITDA, and we expect Europe to keep growing in terms of EBITDA and also top line.
But Jason, what kind of returns did you make in Europe on this kind of product licensing strategy?
So Anubhav, I don't think we can give you a specific number at this point, but just keep in mind that when we say in-license products, right, I mean, they are products like Remo, there are milestone payments going to partners, there are products in the US, Fulvestrant also is an in-license product, just so that you know, right, there are milestones there. So there is a host of deals that we do globally. Okay, so I just want you to know that it's a blended portfolio of products across the globe, right? While we just attributed to Europe also, we have Salmex, right, which is still a major contributor for us. So, and there are a bunch of other products, Tiotropium DPI, you know, which we are expecting to launch next year. So I think there's a large amount of, there's a pretty large portfolio at the back of this.
Yeah, sure. No, I appreciate that's useful. Just one last clarity on the R&D. Let's say if we take this quarter, roughly 355 crore R&D, if how much of this was spent on the NCE part, let's say, versus, let's say if I just take generic, whether we call it simple or complex, and the NCE, just on the R&D side, what's the rough
So we've broken it down, Anubhav. We said on the innovation business, in this quarter, it was 1935 million, what we have spent.
So what we invested in Ikonos?
Out of 355, 193 crores was in Ikonos.
So this 193 crore will all be included in the R&D expense, or this is like split out across beyond R&D also, because there will be spend on the other expenses also on that subsidiary?
No. This is primarily related to the R&D expenses completely.
Okay, sure. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. And congratulations on good numbers. On the US front, I just wanted to check the two good launches that you had, the pimecrolimus and fulvestrant injections. It has come in the fag end of the quarter, but have we been able to book a substantial part, and is there enough stocking and this will normalize in 3Q, 4Q, or do we expect the full quarter impact coming in the next quarter with a much better run rate?
I think we'll continue to see growth in the newly launched products coming into this quarter versus just shelf stock, and then it's going to moderate.
So,
So net-net, we'll see the run rate to improve from here on as well?
Yeah. You'll see, you should see increased market share of the new launches.
Perfect. Great. And in terms of contribution from new launches, clearly you mentioned that, you know, Derm from the existing portfolio still seeing significant erosion. From our new launches space, is it largely driven by Derms or first injection product has come, there are more such differentiated products for the second half and for next year?
So I think the second half, you should see some good, I mean, we still have a couple of good launches possible, right, on the injectable side as well as on some of the differentiated portfolio. So we'll see how it plays out, Prakash. As you know, it's very hard to predict in terms of approvals, launches these days, right? But if all goes well, we should have a couple of good approvals coming through in the second half.
Lovely, great. And second, on balance sheet side, if you see, there is a sharp increase in the financial liabilities, current liabilities, from 900 odd crores to 1400 plus crores. So how do we plan to fund this?
No, it's not. I mean, basically, if you look at it, there was this right to use. Okay, so in terms of the assets that we have globally, whatever leases, etc. So obviously, you put that on the asset side, and then you show some portion of that in the liability side. So that's one small portion that is taken into.
And also in that amount, Prakash, the current portion of long-term borrowings is also sitting in. That is why if you look at it, we said it's 4581 crores is the gross borrowing, is the gross debt, of which a lot of it is, or the long-term portion of long-term, the immediate, what we have to pay off in the next 1 year is sitting in that amount.
Can you quantify that?
That is to the extent of around 1,000 crores.
And what is the plan to fund that? Do we refinance it? Or
So Prakash, we refinance that. We already have lines in place, okay?
Okay. And for Iconos, the sub that you have created, I just wanted to check. So would there be a company formation charge which will start us in the October to December quarter, or it is like a paper form company? And so are there costs related to, you know, the staff as well as the formation of the company which will hit us in the Q3?
It will be more in the Q4, yeah, Prakash.
Okay. When you look for raising capital, is that the way you look at?
No, there are certain things that we need to do to set everything up. There will be some transitions, etc. So at that point of time, this will happen.
Okay. And lastly, on India piece, what is our thought process in terms of the brand Remo? What kind of target brand sales we expecting? I mean, we're already getting a good run rate, but say 1 year out, we have already seen a lot of switch in this product. So what is the kind of brand sales we're expecting over 12 months?
So I think, look, on an annualized basis, right, I mean, this product, I think in the first year itself should have like the exit rate in March should be around, you know, tracking at around six crores a month, okay, somewhere there above. Right, so if you annualize that, you're looking at already almost an 80 crore brand in the first, not even a year of launch. And from there on, you can anticipate, you know, we think this has the ability to go out and take market share from the other oral hypoglycemics, right, in the diabetes space. So I think this could be pretty big over the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay, and the way to basically account for torrent or royalty that you receive would be in the domestic, or it would be a part of other operating income?
So there will be a small portion which we put it as part of the other operating income.
Okay, not as part of. Okay, perfect. Great. Thank you, and all the best.
No.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I would like to remind participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one. We take the next question from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, can you provide some update regarding our plan for a minority stake sale in the API business?
Sorry, can you just repeat your question?
Yeah, can you update us regarding the plan for minority stake sale in the API business? I think we have spoken about that.
Sure.
In previous quarter.
Sure, so I think, we continue to have a few minority investors who are interested in it, but it's not a big priority for the company right now. I think we're going more down the lines of divesting some non-core, non-profit-making assets, right? And I think that will generate some significant free cash for the company as opposed to looking at bringing on a minority investor. So I think that's a bigger priority for us compared to a minority, bringing on a minority investor in the API business.
Sure. And regarding our debt reduction plan, where we spoke about 7 to 8 billion kind of reduction per year, so that remains on track or?
Yes, it does. It remains on course.
Okay. And even though we, now you said that this API stake sale is not a priority for us, so the core business plus the other non-core asset sale, that should be sufficient to get in this this target?
That's right.
Okay. And finally, on the US side, I think you spoke quite a lot about that, but nonetheless, if you can, I think, update us on some of the key initiatives which we should be looking at and which will be essential to accelerate growth from a current level, if you can a bit elaborate on that.
So I think the Monroe, the commercialization of our Monroe facility, right, is a critical event to help us accelerate growth from here for the US business. And of course, some of the new product approvals that we're expecting in the next two quarters.
Monroe, you said we'll be starting launch of products from next fiscal, starting with two injectables, and then it should build on from there, right? Or when do you see a significant, commercialization of products from Monroe to start?
It's hard to predict, but we've said next year we anticipate Monroe to be commercial, right? It's hard to predict the timeline.
Sure. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a few follow-ups from my side. At the end of fourth quarter, we'd given some guidance when it related to cost. First being that R&D is likely to be flat, lower versus last year. Would that be the case still?
So I think, Neha, it will be marginally lower, right?
Okay.
We don't expect as a percent of sales, right? I mean, in absolute terms, it could be flattish, right?
Okay, understood.
YOY. I mean, that's the way we see it.
And similarly, on the manpower cost, also it said as a percentage of sales, it's expected to be lower than last year. It's pretty much trending, flattish to slightly higher. Should this moderate significantly in the second half? Is there anything to indicate that?
Yeah, I think basically whatever is the marginal increase that we have a year on year, that 8-9%, that's where it will stay at. And I mean, this quarter was a little bump up because as every year, this quarter is where some bonuses are distributed. That's about it. Otherwise, it would be that similar kind of growth.
Understood. And lastly, when can we hear on the divestment of those non-core assets? Because it's been, we've been talking about it for a couple of quarters now, but we haven't seen anything coming through on that. Are there any discussions going on? Should we expect this soon?
So Q3, Q4, you will see some some activity around that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
All right, thanks for the follow-up. So I just want to check one thing. You know, typically in the past, we've had on the cost front a situation where there's some amount of lumpiness in our costs in Q4. So when we sort of look through the year, you know, barring the cost that you talked about, with Ikinos-related cost that's going to come through, is there anything else that we should expect by way of, a large sort of spike in the costs, other expenses and all in this last quarter?
I do not anticipate anything major bumping up in the last quarter. As of now, we don't see anything.
And sir, on Ikinos, what kind of costs, any sense that we should look to build in? $5, $10 million, higher, lower?
I think broadly it will be similar to lines what you have guided so far. We do not see it going up much higher. Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sian Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just one clarification on the statements on Remo. You mentioned in the press release that it's 5% in value and 20% in volume terms. I understand it was priced like half of the current prices of the MNCs. So is it like 20% because it's twice a day you're looking at the number of tablets, or what is exactly the volume percentage? How are you calculating that?
So these are the IQVIA numbers that is put in Cheyenne, that is there, the 20%
numbers. 20%, Jason, looks very high, right? I mean, 20% market share.
This could be in terms of the units also, because Remo is prescribed twice a day.
Okay, so in terms of patients, it would be more like 10%.
We can definitely look at that number and come back to you, but I think the important point, I think in terms of prescriptions, clearly Remo has in this month become the largest prescriber in the SGLT2 space. But in terms of volume, that point we can definitely come to you, because Remo is prescribed twice a day, while as the others, SGLT2s are primarily once a day.
Okay. And just one last question on Monroe site. How many ANDAs we have filed from that facility so far?
So it's probably around, I would say, five. By the end of this year, right, we will have at least six products filed from there, six or seven products.
Six to seven.
That's new ANDAs. New ANDAs, and we have some site transfers also which are done.
Okay. So this is largely injectables or?
Injectables, nebulizers would be the bulk of it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Jason D'Souza for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, moderator. Before we close the call, just to read the disclaimer. The information and statement and analysis made during this call describing the company's objectives, projections, and estimates are forward-looking statements and progressive within the meaning of applicable security laws and regulations. The analysis contained herein is based on numerous assumptions. Actual results may vary from those expressed or implied depending upon economic conditions, government policies, and other incidental factors. No representation or warranty, either expressed or implied, is provided in relation to this presentation. This presentation should not be regarded by recipients as a substitute for the exercise of their own judgment. With this, so we end Glenmark Q2 earnings call. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Glenmark Pharmaceuticals Limited, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you.